There's a story told of this driver who was going along the highway, and his car began to sputter, and then it slowed to a stop. And so he had a cell phone, so he called this repair person that he knew real well, and he said, "Hey, my car just stopped." And the guy said, "Well, look, let me tell you to check a few things." And so he checked a few things. He said, "No." And then he finally said, "Listen, have you checked the fuel gauge? Do you have gas? Did you run out of gas?" And so he looked over there, and he said, "Oh, my gracious," and he'd run out of gas. And so the repairman said, "That's the problem. You've run out of gas." And the driver said, "Will it hurt the car to drive it without gas?" And the truth, we know you can't drive a car without gas. And then we think about that gas is the power, basically the power for the car to run. Well, think about our lives. The Holy Spirit is our power for each of us to serve Jesus Christ. Because the truth is this, you can't serve Jesus Christ, you can't serve God, you can't touch lives for Christ unless it's God's power through you. And so if you could say, "Well, is it going to hurt me to try to serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit?" The truth is you can't serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning we're going to continue in our grow groups looking at truths dealing with the Holy Spirit. And we've been seeing a lot of things. We saw Holy Spirit did salvation and now daily. And the bottom line, the Holy Spirit empowers us. That's the power to live. Here's what we've seen. Now, you don't have to write this down, but what we've seen that the Holy Spirit is God, that he's personal, he's not some force, that in the Old Testament he was there and is active, but he didn't indwell permanently. He involved with the inspiration and revelation of the Scripture. He was active in the conception of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit then affects us daily, and then when we think about the Holy Spirit's ministry in the life of the unbeliever, he convicts the unbeliever, the world, of sin, righteousness, and judgment, sin because they've not believed in Christ. So when you start thinking about it, Holy Spirit's ministry is huge. We have lately, in the last 3 or 4 lessons, been looking at the Holy Spirit's ministry at the moment of salvation and at the Holy Spirit daily. Now let me review for you, and you have it written there so you don't have to write all this down, but the Holy Spirit, what he does for us at the moment of salvation, which is incredible, and the first thing he does, he regenerates us. It's regeneration. We are dead in trespasses and sins, now we're made alive, we're born again, we were spiritually dead, now we're spiritually alive, now we can have a relationship and fellowship with God. So that's regeneration. That happens the exact moment you believe. The second thing is he baptizes us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when he actually places us in the body of Christ. So many people are confused what baptism of the Holy Spirit means, but it actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he places us in Christ. So that's big. The third thing was sealed. The Holy Spirit seals us. We're secure in the body of Christ, that we're saved and saved forever. And not only just the promise of God that we saw in Titus chapter 1, God who cannot lie promised eternal life. That's the promise of God, but he's also sealed us with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. The fourth thing is that he indwells us. That means he actually comes to live inside of us, and what's unique is it's permanent. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could come upon somebody to use them to do things that God wanted them to do, and then the Holy Spirit could leave them. The Holy Spirit came upon Saul, first king of Israel. The Holy Spirit left Saul. When David sinned with Bathsheba and in his psalm, he writes and says, "Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me." So in the Old Testament, you could lose the Holy Spirit. For us, the Holy Spirit, the moment we believe, comes to live inside of us. That is the power to serve. And then he gives spiritual gifts. And we talked about this in detail, a little bit about the different spiritual gifts, and that every one of us has at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one spiritual gift, and you can be used by God to touch lives for Christ. So all of this happens at the moment of salvation. This is not something we ask for. We don't say, "Oh Lord, please regenerate me. Oh Lord, please have the Holy Spirit come live in me." That happens the moment we believe. Now, let's turn to the ministry of the Holy Spirit daily. What does he do day in and day out? Now, it's going to take us several weeks to go through this because I've got actually 5 things that we're going to see over these next weeks what the Holy Spirit does daily. This one today, and it'll be next week as well, we're going to see the whole idea of the filling of the Spirit, and we'll see that. So this morning, I think it's the most important. When I say most important, you can't say that one's more important than the other, but this is the one we think about the most, and that is this, the filling of the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filling there actually means to be empowered. So we're saying that the Holy Spirit daily empowers us. He's already inside of us. The moment you believe in Christ, Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So the filling of the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with salvation. It deals with our service. And the filling involves a number of things and a lot of things like that. But think about this. To glorify God, We must live our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. You can't. And the Holy Spirit, and when you, sometimes the Holy Spirit says this, sometimes Jesus says this, sometimes the Father says this. You know that Jesus lives inside you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know the Holy Spirit lives inside you. You know that the Father actually lives inside of us. So in a sense, all of God, Godhead lives inside of us. The emphasis in the Christian life in the New Testament as a whole is the emphasis of the Holy Spirit's ministry and his power. So that's what we're seeing, and that's why we're doing this. So he wants us to be controlled and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at Ephesians 5, look at verse 18, because to glorify God, we must live our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 18, he says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, being filled in the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit is the same thing, to be the command. And there's a command there. And so you can be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. Then there's never a command for you to be regenerated. He doesn't say, now, ask the Holy Spirit to regenerate you. It never says anything like that. When it says, ask the Holy Spirit to place you in Christ, it never says anything like that. But it does tell you to be filled with the Spirit. This is an imperative. This is God telling us to do something. So he says, do not get drunk with wine, that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And notice the contrast. The contrast is, how is a person affected when they're filled with wine? They're affected by the what? By the wine, by the alcohol. We know people, and you look at them and you go, look at that person. They're going, hello, how y'all doing? And you say, that guy's drunk. Look how that wine or that alcohol is affecting him. He's actually saying, don't be drunk with wine, but you be filled. Basically saying, in the same way that wine would affect a person, he says, you let the Holy Spirit affect you. And so basically we ought to be able to look at our lives and say, is that person a Spirit-filled person? Is that person living for the glory of God? Is that person living according to the Scriptures? Is that person being controlled by the Holy Spirit? So as wine controls a person, he says, do not be drunk with wine. Don't let wine control somebody, but you be filled with the Spirit. And so this is a command. This is something that is ongoing. This is something that's our Christian lives. And by the way it's written in the Greek, it literally says, keep on being filled. It's not a one-time deal like, okay, once you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit forever. And you understand that if you're being filled with the Spirit and then you sin, you're not being filled with the Spirit. You understand that? Because sin blocks all this. We're going to talk more about it in just a second. So the idea for every one of us in this room is that we wake up in the morning, we want our lives to count for Christ, we want to be empowered by God, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us. So it's some great things. So what does it mean to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? It means keep on being controlled and empowered and filled, and we are commanded. Now, let me raise a couple of questions as you're looking at your sheet there. Why is this so important? Why is this so important that we be filled with the Spirit? Here's why. This is how God works through us to carry out his plans. If he's going to touch lives for Jesus Christ, if he's going to touch lives on this earth, if Jesus Christ is going to fulfill the ministry that he has, he's using us. Now, there was a time for about three and a half years that he actually did ministry. And by the way, this is going to sound weird to you, but Jesus Christ did his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, even though he and the Spirit are the same. He talked about being filled with the Spirit. In fact, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to attribute the works of Jesus or the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. I mean, that's, you know, you've always heard about the unpardonable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is saying that when Jesus does his miracles, he's doing it in the power of the devil instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus would say, I walk in the Spirit. Jesus would talk about that he does what he sees the Father doing, and he carries it out. So in the same way, how God works through us, in the same way that God used Jesus, so to speak, he is saying, I want to use you. This is my way to use you to carry out the ministries that I have for you, and that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing, and this is a key, is that it is necessary for our growth. And you may not think about it that way, but you know, there are people who become believers, and 30 years later, they're the same. They've not grown. They've not matured. They've not understood the Bible. They've not lived things out. In fact, they're still babies in Christ. And you read the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews writes to these believers, and he says, by this time, you should be teachers, but you are babies. You still need milk. You need somebody to teach you the baby stuff rather than the mature stuff. He's writing to Christians, and he's telling them that. And that happens now. So what causes people to grow? What's some of the keys? Well, when you think about growth, how does a believer mature? It takes time and control, the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say this. It takes time. Let me put it this way. It takes time to mature over a period of time. You can be spiritual. Let me just say something to you. You need to understand there's a difference between being spiritual and being mature. Being spiritual means you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. A brand new Christian can be spiritual. They could say, is that a spiritual person? If you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. If you're being controlled by the flesh, you're called carnal. A brand new Christian can be spiritual. A brand new Christian can be carnal. And an older person who's been Christian for 30 years can be spiritual if they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. They can be carnal if they're controlled by the flesh. A brand new Christian cannot be mature. Maturity takes time. And so it takes time to mature. It takes time to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. It takes time to understand things. A new believer cannot be mature. A new believer can be spiritual, but not mature. And so Hebrews 5 basically talks about that. And he says, how do you know you're mature? Well, you can know right from wrong. You can be able to teach. You can understand the deeper things of God. That's mature people. That's not for babies. When Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, when I wrote to you, I could not write to you as spiritual mature men, is how he wrote it. He said, I had to write to you as infants, as babies. He said, you need, he said, I used to give you milk. And then he says, you still need milk. What amazes me is to find believers who have been in church most of their lives, and you start saying, what do you think the gospel message is? They do not know. If you start saying, let's talk about how the Bible fits together, they do not know. If you said, what's the gospel of Matthew about? They do not know. If you just said, give us the basic principles of the Christian life, you know, what they don't know. If I said, what do you believe about the Bible, Christ, and salvation? They don't know, and they've been Christians most of their lives. That's why we have grow groups in which we actually teach you. That's why we have our SBI classes. That's why on Sunday morning we're going through the book of Titus or any book, because we're saying we're going verse by verse, passage by passage, so you can know this and apply it in your life. So after you've been a Christian for a while, you can say, I know the gospel. I know how the Bible fits together. I know the way of salvation. I know how to clearly present this. I know how to help a person grow. I know how to take a person and help them mature as a Christian. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. And that's why it takes time. First of all, it takes time because a person just can't grow up overnight. You can be spiritual immediately. It takes time to be mature. Many of us, all of us in this room at an exact moment could be spiritual if we're all being controlled by the Holy Spirit. All of us in this room at an exact moment could all be carnal if we're controlled by the flesh. But as time goes by and as people grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and as they get to the point where they can teach, where they know and discern right from wrong, where they can get the meat rather than the milk, that's becoming a mature person. And that's what Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, that's how they describe a mature person. So we said it takes time. The second thing, and this is the key one, it takes control of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must control us. You can go a lot. I mean, I know believers who have been believers for 30 years and they're immature and they're unspiritual because they're controlled by the flesh. See, there are two ways we can live. We can either be controlled by the Holy Spirit, which is spiritual, or we can be controlled by our flesh, which is carnal. And that's us. And let me tell you, you can be walking down the street being spiritual, and in a matter of seconds, you can yield to whatever temptation or whatever comes, and you can be carnal. And it happens just like that. And so when a person says, well, a spiritual person takes a long time, no, that's maturity. Maturity takes a time, and not a long time. Let me just say this too. I need to be clear on that. Maturity doesn't mean somebody's been a Christian for 30 years. You can be a mature Christian. When the writer of Hebrews wrote to these Jewish believers, we're not talking 40 years. We're talking maybe 5 to 10 years. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians and talked about the fact that they should be spiritually mature, listen, when he established that church, from the time he established that church till he writes that letter, is not but 2 to 3 years. So he's not saying, listen, you're a Christian, it's going to take you 30 years to be mature. It doesn't take you 30 years. Now, you never stop growing, and you never stop maturing. And no matter how long we've been believers and we're growing and everything else, we're never going to get to a point where we say, I have arrived. You can never arrive. You continually to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But it doesn't take you 30 years. And all of us in this room, most of us have been Christians more than a year or two, probably. And we all should be maturing Christians. As Charles Ryrie said, that maturity is a growing grown-up relationship with God. Growing, because it never stops, grown up. And so that's what we want to be. So are we going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? Are we going to be controlled by the flesh? And it's easy. Let me just say this. Let me look at the clock. We don't have long. So let me just say this. You live in a fallen world. The world started out great. There's the fall. It's cursed. Satan is the prince of the power of the age. He controls the fallen world. This world system then affects our flesh. And so as we seek to live for Christ, there are continuous pulls all the time for us to follow the flesh. Continuous and never stops. I've had people say, well, the older you get, the less the flesh pulls on you. That's not true. Flesh does not lose its power. I've had people say, well, the Holy Spirit gets stronger and the flesh gets weaker. Does not. Holy Spirit can't get stronger. He's already as strong as he's going to ever be because he's God. And the flesh is a natural bent to sin. It does not get weaker. You may grow. You may learn how to deal with that. You may not fall into the same temptations because you've grown in the grace and knowledge of Christ and you're knowing the Bible and you're making application, but that doesn't mean that thing gets weaker. So as we go through life, there's going to be the problem of whether we're going to be controlled by the Spirit or we're going to be controlled by the flesh. Now, understand that anytime a believer is being controlled by the Holy Spirit, he's filled. You're filled with the Spirit. So what are we to do? What can we do? What's the plan? Listen to this. Offer your life to God. We've talked about this many, many times. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service worship. Stop being conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you, you come to a point in your life where you say, I'm tired of not growing. I'm tired of being a baby. I'm tired of not being spiritual. I'm tired of not maturing. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And so I say to my Savior, I give you my life. Use me for your glory. Help me grow. I want to know the Bible. I want to make application. I want to do the things that it's going to take for me to be a mature person. You know, it's funny that this morning we're in Titus chapter 1 verses 5 through 9, and that is the characteristics of an elder. But what an elder is a mature Christian. And so when we look at that passage this morning, look at the characteristics of an elder, whether you're a man or a woman, you're saying, okay, these are the characteristics of a person who's mature. Am I maturing? Are some of these things true about me? Am I growing to be like this? Because that's the key. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. You offer your life. And then he goes on and says, be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. And by the way, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit is the same thing. Walking in the Spirit means I'm living my life in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so that's the key. I think the next one says, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We're to be filled by the Spirit. Let's walk by the Spirit. That's how our lives count for Christ. Okay, now, I want to read this. Let me go back. When this verse says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and you'll be walking in the Spirit. Historically, people think you give people rules. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't do this, don't do this. You give them all these rules and they'll be spiritual people. They got it backwards. The Bible doesn't say, don't do these things and you'll be Spirit-filled. It says, be Spirit-filled and you won't do these things. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It does not say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and you'll walk in the Spirit. It doesn't say that. So historically, a lot of people have it backwards. We're not setting up a bunch of rules. In fact, let me just say this because we got a minute. What happens when you give people a bunch of rules? The flesh, immediately when you say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, your flesh says, yes, I will, yes, I will, yes, I will. Don't tell me what to do. Because your flesh is automatically in rebellion. And so anytime you give a whole bunch of people all these rules, you can't go to movies, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. What do people want to do? They want to go, why are people telling me not to do that? And so it doesn't say that in the Bible. It says, walk in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me give you some applications real quickly. The Holy Spirit lives in us, we're to be filled. Applications. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. God has given us this power. We must walk in the Spirit. We must be filled in the Spirit. And by the way, people say, how do you do that? Well, when you wake up in the morning, if there's any sin that's in your life, confess that sin and tell God, God, I want to live for you right this moment. And as you go out that door, you think about what does the Scripture say, and you base your life on the Scripture. You're walking in the Spirit. You are. It's not some mystical thing. It's His power through you, and you say to the Lord, you confess any sins because you want to be in fellowship. When you're in fellowship, you can walk in the Spirit. If you're out of fellowship, you can't. So be filled with the Spirit. Then second is realize the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the means that God uses to carry out ministry. You want to serve God, it's going to have to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the means also of growth as a believer. If you want to grow and be mature, you got to walk in the Spirit. It takes time, time and control. And then last but not least, let's offer our lives in service to Jesus Christ. I mean, we're going to make a difference. You want your life to count for Christ. You know, I've said it to myself, and I said it years ago. I was tired of going through life not doing anything as a Christian. I was coaching at Mississippi State, and I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I want my life to count for you. That's Romans 12:1-2. But every day, when I get up, I say, Lord, I want my life to count for you today. That's the difference. And we can walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.